This is the Secret Life of Mold podcast. All right. Thank you for joining me today. This is the Secret Life of Mold podcast, our live edition. Today, I've got two great guests lined up. We want to just really extend our welcome and want you to know that we hope that you and your loved ones have been staying safe and healthy during this time. Given this health concerns that we're all experiencing, we have a very important show lined up today. I'm welcoming two members of the Eurofins MLAB P&K team to our Facebook Live event, Dave Gallup and Dr. Michael Berg. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, Craig.
Hello. Hi. Do you mind just giving us an introduction to yourself and a little bit of your background?
Sure. I'm Dave Gallup. I'm general manager for Eurofins MLAB P&K. My background is I had a bachelor's degree in engineering and applied science from Caltech and a master's degree in mechanical design from Stanford. And then I've spent the last 20 years in the indoor air quality industry, but we've tried to innovate. So I have 8 patents across 3 different industries, and I'm proud of MLAB's innovation in a variety of ways through scoring methods, database compilation to make the data more understandable to our clients, and just how we've tried to keep the company at the forefront, which leads to this coronavirus discussion and our expert, Dr. Michael Berg.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I'm Michael Berg. I'm a technical director for EMLAB P&K. I started with the company about 15 years ago, pretty much exactly to the month, actually. And I have a background in molecular biology. I got a PhD in Germany and then moved to the US, did a postdoc. And then when this topic came up, it's a molecular test that we do. So it kind of fell into my lap to take that on. And we have developed some testing strategies for COVID-19 that we want to touch on today.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. We're currently seeing companies and schools, nursing homes, and all types of facilities and organizations facing urgent health and safety concerns associated with the novel coronavirus. These concerns include things like workforce shortages, employee-to-employee transmission, employee-to-customer transmission, and vice versa. It's no wonder that all these things have serious impacts on business continuity and operational progression. You know, those who can effectively manage and deal with these health and safety concerns will be able to concentrate on moving forward and getting back to normalcy, servicing clients, maintaining and growing business, investing in schools, et cetera. Today's interview with Dave and Dr. Berg will provide recommendations on developing a viral environmental monitoring program that we call EMP. For monitoring the virus that leads to COVID-19, on public and workplace surfaces and surface testing to validate and monitor the cleaning of high touch point surfaces. So let's dive right in, gentlemen. Thank you again. Let's just start off by talking about the COVID-2 testing. What are the basics? And let's just educate our consumers, you know, at a foundational level of what is SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-2 testing.
Sure.
Dave, would you like to start with that?
Sure. So I think a few terms, right? So you hear things scattered around. So SARS-CoV-2 is a type of coronavirus. So it's an RNA-based virus, so it doesn't have a normal cell structure or anything else. And so definitions of what's alive or not alive really get into the definition of like, what is life? What is living, right? So we will probably use terms like infectious, because this is an RNA that can invade cells and replicate and cause adverse health effects. And so we'll be talking in terms of infectious, non-infectious, right? And so SARS-CoV-2 is that sequence of RNA. And that's one of a family or type of coronaviruses. So if you go step back a little bit. And so there's MERS is a coronavirus. There's a SARS-CoV-1 is a coronavirus. And there are others out there. And SARS-CoV-2 is the specific coronavirus that causes the disease COVID-19. So when you hear people say it came down with COVID-19, that's caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Right.
Michael, did I get that? Is that
yes.
Correct?
Is that
good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good explanation. I know there's a lot of confusion between the COVID-19 testing of people and the actual surface testing that is available. We're going to touch on that, but I think a lot of business owners and people aren't really aware that, you know, there is this type of testing available to really monitor their cleaning program. So we'll touch on that a little bit later. So let's just go right into why is it important, Dave, to monitor your environment for virus detection?
Monitoring the environment can provide a variety of benefits, right? So one is it could be a confirmation method to make sure that your cleaning methods are work, right? So you've wiped down the surfaces, you've used the correct disinfectants, and then there's an assumption that that has worked. So having tests could be used as a QA or QC process to confirm that your cleaning is working, right? It also can provide other, I would argue, non-scientific but still meaningful benefit. So it can provide people an emotional basis or make them feel comfort in that, hey, it's been cleaned, it's tested negative, or at least these samples have come back negative. You can imagine some environments it would be important for legal purposes or can help defense, right? So as a lab in our other industries, we are subpoenaed probably 40 times a year for various things. So we're hyper aware that these things get called to court. And so I think having data that can say, hey, look, this surface at this time tested negative helps make the case that the cleaning was done properly. And then how much you use it would depend upon the population that is being exposed to it. So if it's a nursing care facility where it's a higher risk population, you may want to test more because you need more confidence that your disinfection processes, that your cleaning procedures are working. And other environments may have a lower risk population. Are the trade-offs between that additional confirmation that it's clean versus the cost to do that may be a little bit different.
Right.
And some of those tests, we are aware, it's not in every application that we want to use surface testing. It's probably not for everybody, but I think it's for quite a few applications and industries. And when we think about the news and we hear about things like the meat packing plants, right, that had issues and they shut down a meat packing plant because there's a finding of COVID-19 virus or SARS-CoV-2. Then, of course, when you shut down a whole plant and you start your cleaning and you want this assurance that the cleaning has been done right, you may want to implement a screening for the workers to come in. And on top of it, you may want to make sure that your surfaces have been cleaned appropriately. And then in those situations, I think the test is can be very useful. So it may not be for every business and every restaurant that's looking to open to do a surface test. But I think there's quite a few applications where this does make sense when we have changing groups coming in, for example, or when we want to look at just testing some of the high touch points to see if there is a remaining potential exposure to the virus.
Right. That makes sense. So the purpose of surface testing, there's multiple reasons and situations that's really appropriate. Like you said, it may not be appropriate for every business owner or facility. I believe that the validating of a cleaning program, and we're going to talk about third-party testing in a few minutes, but getting that validation that, yes, before a business opens up, they've gone through intensive cleaning and we get at least some testing to kind of know that going in, we're good. I think that the testing is really appropriate for facilities with high risk, whether it be employees working with individuals at high risk, obviously medical retirement facilities and so forth. Those are going to be really, I think, important places for this testing. Even though it's not mandated at this time, we believe that it's something that I think is going to be part of the process ongoing and really looking forward to some of that. And we're learning as we go. This is obviously new territory for all of us. So the surface testing is really the way that we're going to be able to really gauge and determine is their cleaning process really being effective and limiting the risk. It's really a risk assessment when we do this testing. And even the facilities, if they're doing their testing on their own, they're really monitoring their risk level, not necessarily ensuring 100% that there's not going to be a coronavirus present. So we touched on the purpose of the surface testing. Dr. Berg, who do you think really should be testing for the SARS-CoV-2? Who do you think, and we just talked about that, but who do you think is really going to be utilizing this testing and who really should be?
Yeah, so there's there's not a one-size-fits-all to start, right?
Right.
When businesses start to reopen, they have to think about what's my plan and what's my program and how do I fit different areas of testing into that plan. And like we said earlier, there's, of course, the clinical testing, right? We have the PCR test for clinical testing that's in the media, obviously. There's more and more antibody testing that's a little quicker on site that people can use to when people come back and we want to check. And it does include, of course, temperature and symptoms testing, but it can include what we call the fomite spread. So what happens is that people that do carry the virus, and some of them may be asymptomatic, so they may be shedding virus without even knowing it. There's one route of transmission that could be that the virus is deposited to a surface and then someone else picks it up and then touches eyes, touches nose, and gets an infection that way. I mean, this is really why we're doing the hand washing and why we're doing all those other measures also. So we have the social distancing to avoid spreading it through air. And then we have the hand washing to avoid spreading it from touching something and then touching our eyes and nose and then getting an infection that way. Our testing is that we offer, and Eurofins offers actually quite a variety of testing as the larger company in the clinical field, in antibody testing. We're looking at wastewater testing. We with the Eurofins network of labs. And we as the MLAB PNK, we focus on the surface testing. So we kind of help our clients to develop plans and then put the surface testing into that plan. And it might make sense for, not for everybody, for someone maybe more high profile, it's probably more useful. Like I said, if you have a plant shutting down because of COVID-19, then of course there's an incentive to have testing performed. Another good example is if you have a sports team, for example, and you want to do a testing of the locker room and then see if there was anything that has been touched by the team that, you know, where SARS-CoV-2 remains, then you can do contact tracing, which is another topic then again. So when you start playing sports again and you want to see this football team has someone infected, surface testing may be part of that plan for this group or for this team or for this stadium. So it's really up to everybody to make sense of it. We can offer it and we can discuss how it makes sense. But really the consultants and people that do the actual testing have to develop a plan and then also spell out how does it make sense to me for my situation? Is it about cleaning? Is it about contact tracing? Is it about legal liability? So all of those can play a role and can be important for the individual company who is then using our services.
Well, it's pretty complex, isn't it? I mean, as far as the timing, that's one of the things we try to figure out is when should the environments be tested? And it's really specific to the situation, depending on whether it's a business that's been shut down for a period of time and they're going to be opening, you know, do we go in and is the testing appropriate at that time before they actually open? Ongoing testing, like you said, a sports facility, for example. Dr. Berg, when do you think testing the environment should be conducted? And is it really just case specific?
So we got to think about that if a building has been closed for an extended period of time, then the virus is not there most likely. So we have those studies that have shown that virus can be infectious after on hard surfaces up to 3 days maximum. This was highly publicized in the news. There was like cardboard 24 hours and then hard surfaces stainless steel up to 72 hours. And this was infectious virus, so we can probably detect a virus a little longer with just the PCR. But if the building has been closed for a week or two and nobody has entered that building, then there's not a good chance to have any infectious particles left. So it's really about how do you manage getting people back in and then how do you manage the situation when you have people that are potentially shedding virus and you may not even know that you are shedding virus and how do you contact trace, how do you account for that, and how do you keep your workplace safe? So it's really about keeping the workplace safe for everybody, and the testing offers one aspect of this topic of keeping the workplace safe.
Right.
Craig, can I add on to that?
Please? Absolutely, please.
Right. It's a good point that if a building has been closed for a long time, right, 2 weeks or more, the odds of there being infectious SARS-CoV-2 is very low. However, in those situations, I think the person reopening the building needs to consider other things that currently are not getting as much press, right? So mold, for example, you could get moisture, condensation, and you could have a serious mold problem. And similarly, you could have stagnant warm water, which could lead to Legionella problems, right? And so this discussion of SARS-CoV-2 is part of kind of the whole risk management plan.
Good point. So obviously the coronavirus is kind of the main topic, but what you're saying is that businesses that have been shut down, especially if businesses have been shut down for over a few weeks, sometimes they're altering their HVAC or their ventilation and heating, cooling. And so that can change the indoor environment that may allow for conditions that could be conducive to mold and microbial growth, Legionella, like you said, if those systems haven't been operating. The other factor is that some of these facilities and buildings may have had very limited access from their maintenance staff and so forth to observe conditions that could have happened, like a plumbing leak or a water intrusion event or something that is unknown until all of a sudden someone goes in a room. And so I think it is a great idea to do what we would consider a condition assessment of a facility or building prior to opening from a company who really specializes in that, to not only look for signs of any water intrusion and moisture problems related to mold, but also looking to see, is there that potential for any type of bacteria contamination within their HVAC system, air handling system, and so forth. And then the testing, if the facility is open already, then obviously the coronavirus testing is at that point certainly viable. And you know, the other thing too, I think that we have to consider is that if a building has been shut down, has not been opened yet, there's still going to be most likely some activity going on, whether it be a maintenance staff, pre-cleaning crew coming in, some employees, some essential employees within that building. So I think that we also need to remember, even though the building hasn't been operating per se, there's still been some potential exposure there, and we need to be considerate of that as well. Great information. Thank you. Another question I think a lot of people have is, okay, so if there is this surface testing available, what surfaces should be tested? What are we looking at for testing?
So again, we need to think about it. What are the most likely areas where someone who contracts the virus would be depositing that? And of course, we worry mostly about those surfaces that are frequently touched and by more than one person. So you may be using your mouse on your computer all day, but you're the only person using it. So that's not as risky as using a doorknob that someone else touches, because we're really worried about transmission. Of course, we also worry about that one person who is sick, and we want to find that one person, right? But as far as surface sampling and testing goes, we want to focus on those surface areas that are most likely touched by more than one person and frequently. So we're talking doorknobs, we're talking tables, chairs, we're talking handrails, anything you think about that, you know, and you can watch yourself going into a building. What do you really touch? You know, elevator buttons and things that, you know, more than one person touches. I've seen recommendations where people say, be aware, you know, reduce everything to the point what you don't have to touch, don't touch it. So if you don't have to use the handrail because, you know, you need it, but don't touch it.
Right.
So elevator buttons, maybe use a tissue to touch it, et cetera. So we need to be more aware of that. And then, of course, as far as testing goes, we're going to help with those areas that you can't avoid touching, that multiple people touch, and we can test for those. And then we can basically look at a larger community than the individual testing can. So if you have 20 people on a floor, they all touch the doorknob, and potentially you can find it with that test, then you know, oh, there's a risk here. We got to dive into and find out what's going on. And one other example I've heard someone wanting to do the testing was construction sites. So you have different groups coming in. They may use the same tools or they may use similar equipment on site. So those are all applications where it can be useful to use this testing.
Right. I think we've changed. You know, it's so hard for me not to shake hands anymore. So some of these social things that we're changing, we see a lot more elbows. I'm going to stick my elbow up. A lot more use of our elbows, you know, in opening doors, and just because we're now so hyper aware of those touch points. And like you mentioned, those common or what we call high touch point surfaces, best to avoid them. But that those are definitely the areas that we need to be testing specifically. And there's a multitude of areas within a, whether it be an office setting or a medical facility. And we would sure hope that, you know, most of those high touch point surfaces are going to be cleaned adequately, but we're going to be doing some testing even in the non-high touch point areas. Just it's kind of a general idea, but clearly we're focusing on those touch point areas. Dave, question for you. Why should business owners consider third-party environmental testing?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question, right? I think primarily in situations like this, it's important to have both independence or not a conflict of interest in both reality and in perception, right? You need those two to be the same. And so even if a person is or a business is very honorable, ethical, has high integrity, the person who's purchasing the service or somebody further downstream just may not believe it, even though it's reality, right? And so if it's truly a third party, it's easier to address both the reality of independence and not a conflict of interest and the perception. And both of those are important.
Yeah, I agree. Dr. Berg, any other thoughts on the third-party testing?
Yeah, I think Dave summarized that very well. I think this is important for perception and reality to make sure that we have we see that a lot in all the services that we offer, right? We see it in mold testing. We see it for Legionella testing. I think some of the states and local governments have even excluded the same company doing the remediation that does the testing. So the same kind of applies here too. So we always worry about conflict of interest, and it's just an easy solution to just go to a third party, and then you kind of avoid this whole perception as well as potentially reality of being independent.
Yeah.
I think it's a little sad, but I think people intellectually know that, yes, people can operate in ways that aren't ethical or honest, right? But I've personally had people call me and ask me to edit or fabricate data, right? Can you just add a little bit of this, or can you just add a little bit of that, or make the report look better, right? So you can imagine if that person was doing the analysis themselves, it'd be easy for them to go in and just edit it. And we've even had cases where people edited the PDFs that we sent them, right? And so So the idea, it's pretty incredible, right? So we have very rigid tracking that, you know, the database tracks who changed the data when, right? They have to put it, you know, it's very well documented so that when we get called to court, because it's going to happen next week, you know, we're ready. We've got it all there. And so I think that's important to the end consumer to have confidence that that's backing up everything.
Agreed. Yeah. It's kind of like grading your own homework, you know, it's sometimes to fudge a little bit. So I agree. And I think, you know, you bring up a good point about the liability part of it. From a business owner standpoint, there's a very high concern right now about liability and, you know, exposure to potential litigation. And I think third-party testing, obviously not going to prevent the lawsuit, but I think that anything that a business owner can do to show their due diligence in the cleaning process, having the cleaning protocol posted so the public can know what they're doing, the intervals for their cleaning and so forth, and having independent or third-party companies come in to validate and verify, yes, they are cleaning through multiple testing processes and ultimately the coronavirus testing as well. I think it puts them in a position that if they do encounter litigation, that they are in a good position to be able to say, you know what, we've done everything possible. In fact, we've even gone the extra mile and have done things that aren't even required of us, such as third-party testing, to really show that we're going to do our best, you know, and there's no guarantees. We all know that. But I think for a lot of business owners, it makes sense to really bring that part of it into it. And I think a lot of business owners and facilities have probably not even thought about that process of the third party actual validating and testing, just to put that in their folder, you know, in case it's needed at some point in time. So definitely a lot of benefit to the third party testing. And again, that initial assessment we talked about before, having somebody come in and just do a walkthrough of the facility and make sure there's nothing going on that's not even virus related, you know, to make sure that they have a safe environment for their customers and their employees. And that's really what this boils down to, is ensuring that we provide that safe atmosphere and environment for our customers and employees and any guests that come into the facilities.
And I at risk of being repetitive, I think a lot of people are so fixated on SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19, right? Yeah. That they're not thinking about the mold aspect or the Legionella aspect. And those are known irritants, right? Legionella can cause serious disease, right? And so I worry that that's being missed.
I agree. And I think a lot of people watching this are like, what's Legionella? You know, I've never heard of that. Well, Legionnaire's disease is from the bacteria of Legionella. And it's in water. It's in stagnant water for different HVAC systems, evaporative coils, and that's a whole nother event that would be complicated. But it's really, we're looking at commercial type facilities and settings where that happens most, I think. But absolutely, you're right. We need to make sure that everybody understands that buildings have multiple areas where there could be environmental hazards that people are at risk. And we need to look at those other things too in assessing the building. So Dr. Berg, here's a tough question for you. This is going to be a tough one.
Go ahead.
How do you achieve coronavirus control? What are the processes, trying to bring it down to the difficult question, but what are we really looking at for trying to achieve control or at least maintain?
Well, yeah, I think we're talking about risk management, right? When we're talking about the testing and what do you do when you have a business? Obviously, you're not going to be able to say with 100% certainty that you don't have anyone coming in who is sick at any time, or any of the employees being sick at any time, or your environment is always free of SARS-CoV-2. So what you want to do is reduce that risk. That's what we're doing with the social distancing. That's what we're doing with the hand washing, with the masks and everything, that we try to find ways to reduce the risk of spreading the disease. And it's really about not spreading the disease. When you look at the approaches different countries take, you want to be below that number one on the one person infects less than one other person. So,
right.
So if you infect less than one, then eventually over time it dies out. And that's what we're obviously all looking for, for this thing to die out and we can all go back to normal, right?
Yes. Crossing our fingers that happens sooner rather than later, right? We're working on it. All right. Well, great information, gentlemen. I want to kind of segue into our next segment here. And this is just a section of our show where I answer some questions, common questions from our viewers. And we've got a few that have come in here. Let me read over the first one. What are the service options you are providing? And this is specific to our company, but it also plays a part in with Eurofins, MLAB, P&K, as far as your testing as well. So the services we are providing at this point for the coronavirus, what we call pre and post operational inspections. And again, that's going in before a building is opened up and going in and doing an assessment, a site assessment. And we have certified environmental inspectors for mold. We also obviously doing the coronavirus testing, but we're going in and we're looking at that facility or building, school, daycare, any facility, and looking for any signs of any microbial conditions, water damage, that sort of thing, as well as in some cases doing some testing for the coronavirus. We're looking at the workstation setup. We are able to consult on some of the setup and the critical supply check, making sure that they have all their personal protection equipment and so forth. We also are offering a pre and post operational cleaning and sanitation, which is, again, kind of looking at the products that they're using, what is their cleaning protocol and so forth. It's really up to them to develop that, but we also kind of give them a kind of third party view on what's going on with that. You know, we're looking at their, back to the different services, pre-opening site assessments and testing. There's two basically services we're providing, the pre-cleaning site assessment before they bring in a company to do the cleaning, and then a pre-opening where we may be doing some testing at that time, most likely not doing a lot of testing on the pre-cleaning side if they're planning on doing the cleaning. We'll generally come back after that assessment before they actually open and do some surface testing at that time. The risk assessment testing for COVID-2 specifically, like you mentioned before, there's a screen for coronavirus, which is probably going to be what's utilized most. But if someone actually is suspecting that there's an actual, if there is an employee that's tested positive for COVID-19, we can go in and do the specific testing for the SARS-CoV-2. So obviously that's something we're doing. A peace of mind cleanliness survey. Again, just going in, just giving a business owner or a facility manager a third party overview. Okay, let's do a white rag test, you know, a white glove test, and check and see how well have the surfaces been cleaned. Are we really doing a deep clean, or is it just kind of only the high touch point areas? And just kind of give them that consultation on that as well. So we've got varying levels of services that we are offering at this point in time. Depending, it's really going to be tailored to the needs of the facility, the owner, business owner, administration, and so forth, as far as what level of testing or independent analysis that they're looking for. Another question that we've gotten, is this testing strictly for business owners and public establishments, or can clients do personal testing? I would say that the majority of the testing we're going to be doing is on behalf of business owners, public establishments, facilities, nursing homes, daycares, and so forth. But of course, we can do the testing in any facility. So even a single family residence, if someone wanted to bring us in, let's say they had somebody visit their home and they weren't sure if maybe they had a risk of that, we could come in and do some testing at that point. So multitude of options for the testing. Okay, next question. Are you seeing business owners jump on doing this testing? Are clients and consumers pushing business owners to test? Good question. I think that we are going to see a little bit of public pressure. I think most consumers and employees, they really are looking for that peace of mind and that high level of confidence that, you know, they're kind of trusting their own health, that their employer or the facility has done the proper cleaning. I think we'll see a little bit of internal pressure for that third party level testing, especially when people realize that it is available and something that is an option. And I believe that we're going to see quite a bit of this coming up. I think we're still in kind of the beginning stages as we're opening up the country. Different states obviously are at different stages of opening, whether it be a phase 1 or phase 2. A lot of the businesses are already in operation. And that's where I think we need to look at the testing and get the word out and let people, not only the public, but also the business owners and facility operators, know that this is a service that is available and it's very, very important. So all great questions. We have, let's see, one other question. Post-cleaning and disinfecting risk assessments and testing. Can you go into more detail about that? Post-cleaning, you know, there's people want to get what we call a clearance or certificate of clearance or guarantee that their facility is free of the coronavirus. We all know that there's no guarantees. You know, you can clean a facility and then 2 days later have an exposure. So it's really a risk assessment. There, at this point, there's not going to be any what we would consider clearance. It's really testing to determine what is the risk factor, what is the adequacy of their cleaning and so forth. It is a good gauge for the risk of that, depending on how well they're cleaning and so forth. But it is important for people to understand that if any company is saying that they can go in and do testing and guarantee that all surfaces are clean, that's just not feasible because it's just cost prohibitive to test that many surfaces, because we'd be talking about hundreds of tests. So we'd be testing the high point, touch point surfaces and doing what we would consider a representative sample of areas for that risk assessment, but again, not a clearance. So thank you for those questions. If you have other questions, and I see there are a few more that have come in, go ahead and email us at the very end here. We're going to give you our contact information. Give us a call or email us, and we'll definitely answer any questions we have. And if we have any technical questions for the experts that are with me today, we'll pass those on and get those answers for you as well. So thank you again. Well, Dave, and you know, actually, I think Dr. Berg and Dave, any final thoughts, kind of bring this all together? Any final thoughts or comments you'd like to make before we wrap up?
Well, I'd just like to say again, you know, for everybody who is considering doing this and using the test, just think about it, how it makes sense for you and your situation. And then, you know, we'll be happy to help and assist with the service, but we don't want to push things that don't make sense for your situation or for something that, you know, is of no value to our clients. So this is really what we pride ourselves on. I think you too, Craig, with your company, that we want to offer services that are really a value add and make sense to people that use it. So,
yeah. You
know, I would just like to say that at least in my lifetime, this is like a global unprecedented event, right? With serious consequences to people's health, happiness, livelihood, economy, et cetera. And so I deeply appreciate the time that anybody is willing to spend thinking about this, whether they use us or whether they use somebody else, or they decide they don't need to use this type of thing, you know, but they're out there trying to solve, you know, right now, which is kind of an all hands on deck effort to try to help people out. So I just appreciate anybody who's made the time to listen to this and is trying to do what they can. That's what we need. All hands on deck.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you said, this is, you know, we're all learning and this is evolving. And, right. And you know, I think information is important. And the more we learn, the more we can pass on. Sometimes it's kind of hard to know it from day to day. You know, things change and we get more information. And it's all about just trying to figure it all out as we go. And you're right. It's an amazing time. And we will get through this together. And having experts like yourselves helping us in that process and consulting with our clients is invaluable. So we definitely appreciate that. Well, Dave and Michael, this has been so informative and helpful. I've really enjoyed it. I suspect we may have some follow-up questions for both of you. There may even be an opportunity to do this again at some point in time, if you're willing. And I think there's just, as this continues and moves on, we're going to have more and more information that we'd like to pass on to everybody. So thank you again for your time. Sincerely appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for all your
efforts. My pleasure. Yep. All right. Well, for more information about our SARS-CoV-2 services and coronavirus consulting, please call our customer service representatives at 888-335-MOLD for our Texas locations and 800-619-MOLD for our other locations. Thanks again. Stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you for joining me today for this episode of the Secret Life of Mold podcast. If you need help with mold issues in your home or office, we'd love to help. For our Texas location, please call 888-335-MOLD. That's 888-335-6653. Or email contact@moldtx.com. For our locations other than Texas, reach out to our customer care team at 800-619-MOLD. That's 800-619-6653. Or email us at contact@moldsci.com.